Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, another online travel website is accused of using ratings to their own benefit. Pokemon is driving tourism dollars. There's a new Lucy statue, and Rancho Cordova is calling all classic car owners.
At 3:20, we have a staycation expert on hand to suggest some ways to enjoy what's around you without going far from home.
There's a new hustle being put upon families traveling with children when you dine out. And while it only costs $1.99, we think it's unfair. And at 3:35, Elliott.com reporter Jessica Monsell joins us to explain.
Somewhere along the way, I'm going to get to Mark to fill us in on his recent travels to what they call the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Never been there. How about you?
It's 3 p.m. on a summer Sunday. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans. Kicks, I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. Travel Guys on the radio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. And I'm guessing that you're probably rolling on your DVR so that you don't miss some of the Olympics. And then tuning in for the Travel Guys. And if anything really breaks, we'll be sure not to be a spoiler by telling you what it is. Mark,
Olympics are on?
Yeah, you've been on the road for an entire week to a destination. Many people ask me, where's Mark this week? And of course, last week we...
Even if you'd known, you wouldn't have known.
You're probably right. But anyway, last week's show, we told folks you were going on one of your Sports Leisure Vacations mystery tours. And so as a result, for whatever the reason, I never bothered to ask, and you wouldn't have told me, someplace that is a national state park and copper was involved.
Yeah. In the upper peninsula of Michigan, some people have been to Mackinac Island, which is sort of at the gateway to the upper peninsula. But on the other side, on the Superior, what's called the Superior region side, Duluth, Superior, is kind of the gateway, Duluth, Minnesota, is a thing called the Keweenaw Peninsula. It's this little peninsula where, like, from 1850 to 1920, most of the world's copper came from. And so there was a lot of wealth there. And because there was a lot of wealth, they built some really extravagant churches and theaters and public buildings. And some of those are still around, even though the copper mining is almost completely gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in this incredibly scenic area. It's really educational. You can learn a lot. There's a lot of beauty. There's a lot of history. It's really the perfect combination, if you will. And the other beauty of it is no one's ever been there, especially anyone from California. They wouldn't know a key went off. It jumped up and bit them in the nose. So so it was a great trip. And if we have time towards the end of the show, I'd love to share some of the places that we went with people and stuff, because I suspect if you're one of those folks who thinks you've been everywhere and you haven't been here, then you haven't been everywhere. And this is within the 48 states. You can get there, not real easily, but you can get there, and it's worth the effort.
Sound like that Johnny Cash song, you know, I've been everywhere, man. Now,
yeah.
I have to just ask, and then we'll move on to the travel news. Along the way, were folks interested in what was going on with the Olympics? Was there any effort to get any information, or were you guys like out of touch?
Oh no, we were in cities with, you know, we weren't out in the woods. I mean, we stayed in Marquette for a couple of nights, in a little town called Houghton for a couple nights. We stayed in a beautiful Hampton Inn that, you know, usually I wouldn't say a Hampton is an upscale hotel, but in smaller towns, oftentimes the Holiday Inn or the Hampton Inn or the Country Inn and Suites is the best place to stay in that particular community. And Marquette has this beautiful Hampton Inn that's just right down on the water. And so, no, we had all the modern conveniences, dined in some great restaurants. Now, see, you're dragging out of me what I was going to say later on.
Okay.
But nonetheless, it was a good trip. We'll talk about it.
All right. Hold there. Thanks for joining us, folks. As always, at the top of the Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's new in the travel news. So with that being said, Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, you know, the Pokemon craze has gone crazy. People drive down the freeway now and playing it in their car while they're driving. And people, mm-hmm. I've seen when we were out on tour in Michigan, I literally saw numerous occasions where I could tell that people were playing the game. A lot of times people are playing it with two or three people at a time. The tourism industry is responding to this. They have recognized the fact that people are going places in search of Squirtles or Pikachus. And Cheyenne, Wyoming, added a new route to the city's historic trolley tours called the Pokemon Express, a journey that takes riders to more than 40 Pokestops, where they hunt for Pokemon while also being shown landmarks and historic buildings. The first two such tours sold out within days of being created. From Boston to Pasadena, tourism officials are creating all kinds of... People are noticing that people are wandering through their streets playing this game, and they're thinking, well, maybe we can somehow play off of that, and apparently it's working quite well. It's really amazing, some of the stories so far.
So far, you have people that have banned it from their museums and certain places in parks because of the danger.
Well, you don't want to play it inside a museum, but outside the museum, on the grounds.
There you go. And then others are taking advantage of the craze and...
Or here's an idea. Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, which if you've ever been there, it's a history park, and think of a giant Sutter's Fort, if you would.
Okay.
And so people, you walk from building to building. There are costumed characters that interpret things and stuff like that. So it's perfect for something like this. And indeed, Colonial Williamsburg has seen a drastic increase in visitors due to the game, and so they are drawing up. They had they're having meetings now for Pokemon players in Williamsburg and giving them tips on how to look for the games. It's increased visitation by over 20% a month over month for the month of July as compared to last year. In New Zealand, there's a $2,500 tour, starts at $2,500 to go to Australia and New Zealand in search of Pokemon. It's led by a private tour guide who provides educational context regarding the significance of the landmarks while also imparting tips on where to catch particular types of Pokemon.
Good grief, Charlie Brown. What else you got?
This is really important. The Spam Museum is moving to a new location.
Really?
In Austin, Minnesota, which is the home of Hormel Meats. Or if you go to Austin, Minnesota, they don't pronounce it Hormel, they pronounce it Hormel.
All right.
So Hormel makes, or Hormel, if you will, makes Spam. There's a museum in the town that they're headquartered in, Austin, Minnesota. There's a Spam Museum, and it's actually quite entertaining, and it's moving to a new location. So
he's also the center fielder for the Giants.
Absolutely. That's Span, not
Spam.
Oh,
really?
Lucille Ball has a new statue. Lucille's little hometown is just south of Buffalo, Celeron, New York. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And just last week, they had this lovely statue of Lucille that was actually kind of scary. Let me see if I have a picture of it here. Look, here is the old picture of Lucy and the new picture of Lucy. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
So
the one on the left is a little scary. How long have people been having to stare at that one?
For a while. So Lucy has a new statue of
her. One on the left looks like something that I might have put together.
You think so?
Not good. Okay.
Rancho Cordova is calling all Lincoln Highway. They're having a Lincoln Highway celebration this October, on Sunday, October the 9th. We were originally going to broadcast that live, but they kind of moved the date around and moved it over the top when Mark's not in town. So we won't be there with them, but nonetheless, they're having a big celebration on Sunday, October the 9th. You can, there is a car cruise and parade, a poker run, a car show. If you have an old car, they would love to have you play. Let's see here if I can find a website. I'm not sure this is on our Travel Guys website. Try CordovaCouncil.org. CordovaCouncil.org. I'll get this up next week. It's on October the 9th. And finally, one last item, Tom. As you know, a JetBlue flight on its way to Sacramento this last week hit an air pocket over South Dakota and took a terrible dive, and a lot of people got hurt, including some flight attendants. And the story's been way well covered, and I'm not here to cover the story, except to just say to people one thing. Most of us would not get in an automobile and drive down the street without fastening a seatbelt, because it's just so, we're so conditioned that it's the right thing to do that we just do it automatically. I mean, 99 times out of 100, you do it, and if you don't, you've got the thing that bings and reminds you to do it. But people do it automatically because they know that it's important. When you're in an airplane, it is no different. You need to wear your seatbelt all the time. when your seat partner gets up and goes to the bathroom and you think, well, you know, I won't buckle up until they come back, you put the seatbelt back on.
Right, yep.
Because that was a one in a million shot, and those one in a million shots happen in these skies every once in a while. And a lot of people get hurt. And if you just had your seatbelt on, you were likely to not have been one of those people who were certainly seriously hurt. I mean, you may still might have gotten your back wrenched or something like that. But if you had your seatbelt on, that was the difference between people who got hurt and people who didn't get hurt. And of course, the flight attendants, there's no way for them to have been buckled in and anticipated something like that. They got a couple of them got hurt, and one fairly seriously. But kudos, the passengers said the flight crew, even though some of them were not in very good shape while they were trying to get, you know, the plane on the ground and stuff like that, were assisting passengers and stuff like that. So kudos to the JetBlue flight crew who helped folks, many of them from Sacramento, on this flight that encountered this horrible situation. But the moral to the story, the make you a smarter traveler line, is wear your seatbelt on an airplane all the time. And if you're traveling with somebody and you care about that person, make them put theirs on too.
There you go. We've talked about that in the past, and I can tell you this. I am a seatbelt wearer on the flights. All right. Does that wrap it up for the Travel Guys news for the day?
That will do it.
All right. By the way, all the stuff we talk about on the Travel Guys every week is available at TravelGuysRadio.com. And if for some reason you hear us talk about something and you want to hear it again, or you miss a week because you're out of town, and well, two things. Number one, you can find the podcast at TravelGuysRadio.com for every show every week, as well as at iHeartRadio. If you just Google travel, up will come the Travel Guys. And last but not least, available at KFBK.com.
And we should tell people, Tom, that
yes.
At TravelGuysRadio.com, if you just go there, if you would like to be able to hear the podcast, we'll send you a link every Monday. This is a cool new feature that just started a couple weeks ago. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. You go to TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a green line at the top says, get new episodes sent to your inbox. That will get you a link to the podcast every Monday. Melissa will send to your email box a link that just, and all you'll have to do is just click on it. If you missed the broadcast, you can go see it, and it'll tell you a little bit about who the guests were and stuff like that. So, TravelGuysRadio.com not only tells you about the show, but gives you an opportunity to link to the podcast.
If all goes well, coming up in about 4.5 minutes, we're going to talk about a little different kind of vacation, one that doesn't necessarily mean leaving town. You've heard this term staycation. Well, we're going to have an expert join us to talk about how we can accomplish that. Next, right here on The Travel Guys. Welcome back. You're in touch with The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope your Sunday's a good one.
I am so glad to be home.
Yeah, 7 days on the road.
Yeah, on the road again.
Plus
I had a little disaster. We will talk about that later, right before I left, which kind of made it an interesting trip, but...
folks, I want you to know,
yeah,
those that are regular listeners, Mark did not fall down, hit his head, pass out, yeah, end up in the hospital. This is way worse. And we'll talk about that a little later on in the program.
That's known as a tease.
You know what I did? I stayed home and had a staycation, because
uh-huh,
I'm an expert at staycations.
You are?
I wish we could get an expert on the radio that could help us out with this.
You wish we could? Because you're kind of a homebody sort of guy, you know? I mean, you've worked hard all of your life, and you've been a 50-60-hour-a-week guy, and so now you got a little bit more time, and so we were saying, you know, you need to get out and see, and you were saying, you know, there's a lot to see and do close to Sacramento. So we do have, just funny you should ask.
Yes.
We have just that sort of expert right here on the, what a coincidence. What an incredible coincidence.
Amazing.
That this would happen. A lifestyle expert, Jocelyn Herman Saccio, is on the line with us, joining us on the Travel Guys. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome to the Travel Guys. Tom is finding he's having quite a bit of time on his hands. Now, he doesn't have small children, and he's not necessarily strapped for cash, But we need some ideas of things that how can he create as much fun staying home as he does going traveling away from home?
Well, it's super easy, but you have to create it. It's not going to happen by default, because by default you'll hang around and do errands and just do your normal everyday thing. So it won't really be like a staycation. It'll be like life, right?
There you go.
Exactly. So one of the things that really helps is if you unplug from all your work and chores and really treat it like a vacation, but at home. And I know that's sometimes very difficult for us in this age of checking our cell phones every 3 seconds to see if we have an urgent email.
But I check my cell phone on the road, too, so that wouldn't be different. I could still do that and be on vacation.
You could do it, but if you want to really, you know, check out from what you normally have to do at home, I would limit your checking your emails to 2 or 3 times a day, which might be a real low number compared to what you normally do.
Yeah, that would be a huge challenge for some people, but yes.
Very good, okay.
I know it was for me, too. I just, you know, I just recently went on vacation and checked my emails much more than that, and I finally just had to unplug and be like, no, I'm here with my family, and I want to actually spend time with them without checking my phone. I felt like a teenager. You know, I'm talking to my teenagers, telling them to put their phones away, and I don't put my phone away. So practice what you preach, right?
So how do you plan a staycation, Jocelyn? If you're just staying at home, does that require the same kind of planning as a travel vacation does?
It's a different kind of planning because, you know, you have sort of an automatic thought that you know your home and you know your surroundings. So you have to get creative and discover your town and actually be like a tourist in your own town, which is exciting and fun, and you can learn new things about neighborhoods that you thought you knew like the back of your hand. You can learn new things about them. You can learn new things about attractions that are there. And it's funny because, you know, when people ask me, oh, what should I do? I'm from New York, and they say, what should I do in New York? I give them lists of things, half of which I've never done. So if you look in your own town, you can find activities that you've never done and places to go and attractions that you can really discover on a staycation. The other thing you can do is you plan social things, like, you know, little splurgy kind of things. I don't know, what's like one of your favorite things to do?
Dine out.
Dine out.
Exactly. So find a restaurant that you wouldn't normally go to, something that's a splurge, something that's, you know, kind of maybe a more fancy kind of restaurant or a more interesting kind of restaurant than you would normally do, and treat that as like an outing.
So you could have, Tom, you could have, like you and Stephanie could have dine out week. And each night you could go to a different local restaurant that you'd never been to before.
Yeah, my cardiologist would not approve. Jocelyn, when you plan your staycation, do you advise people to, like you do when you're taking a vacation, you'll say, okay, on day one, we're going to go to this museum, or we're going to do this particular event, or we're going to go hiking or whatever. Do you do the same thing when you're planning that family staycation? Do you recommend that people kind of map out the week as to what you're going to do day to day?
I do recommend it. Otherwise, you end up just falling into, you know, cleaning out your closet or doing something that you would do on a weekend when you didn't have anything to do. So it's important to plan, and that gives you a chance to really create what's going to be exciting for each member of your staycation family. So if it's you and your wife, you would find out what does she really want to do, and I would have your focus on her and say, okay, well, how am I going to make this just a delightful staycation for my wife so it doesn't become like, oh, it's a vacation that we didn't go away for, and we're pretending it's a vacation.
Or if you have a couple of children, likewise, planning a staycation that might be really oriented to the kids. And do you include, like, Jocelyn, does day trips count in your staycation kind of format?
Totally. Why not? Especially where you are. I mean, you have so many day trips you could do that are fun and interesting.
We do. You could go on a different day trip from Sacramento every day. In fact, you could take the train to San Francisco from Sacramento, 14, 15 times a day now on weekdays.
There you go.
And a dozen on the weekends. You could take a train trip to San Francisco with your kids, probably. A train allows them a little bit more freedom. Please don't terrorize the other passengers too much, but allows them
well,
a little freedom.
It allows you a little more freedom, so you don't have to be cooped up in a car with them, that's for sure.
Exactly, and there's a million things to do in San Francisco and fun things, and there's nothing like the adventure of a train as opposed to a car, and not that expensive, but an example of the type of thing that you could do that maybe local people are overlooking right here in their own backyard.
What's the number one mistake people make, Jocelyn, when they plan their staycation?
Is not planning. That is the biggest mistake that people make, because they just end up being home and maybe doing something here or there. But if you don't plan it, it won't happen.
Would you suggest having would you get together as a family maybe and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We want everybody's input. and we're going to have these 3 days or these 5 days or, you know, every Friday for a month that we're going to do something fun together as a family? Is that kind of the where you're going with this?
What we love to do, and I have 3 children, is make it a game. So each person gets a theme to pick. So if it's a day, we say, okay, what's your theme? And one of my sons loves art, so his theme is museum. So he gets to pick where we go for that. My other son loves pies, so we go and try and find, like, the best key lime pie or apple pie in a place that we've never eaten before. My daughter loves shopping for clothes, so she gets to pick a neighborhood where we go shop. I mean, it's just all, you know, everybody gets to contribute. Otherwise, people feel like it's, you know, I mean, especially with kids, they feel like they're just tagging along for their parents' ride.
Jocelyn Herman Saccio is a communications expert with Landmark, a personal and professional growth training and development gang. She's been there for over 20 years. And Jocelyn, thank you for some of your ideas about staycations today. Maybe we have spurred some ideas in a few listeners' minds of how they can do something, some fun things in and around Sacramento and not go a great distance. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. That's very cool.
I think it is. We around here, we're really lucky in Sacramento in that we're an hour. People always say there's nothing to do in Sacramento, but the great thing is it's close to everything.
This is true.
That's been the line forever, and it's that's not a rag on Sacramento, I don't think. There are a lot of things to do in Sacramento, but we do have San Francisco and the wine country.
And I think she said it best is when you have visitors from out of town that come to spend time with you, family from afar, and you sit down and say, well, let's see, what should we do? Let's take them to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
If we got time, we'll run over to Yosemite.
Right.
We got to go down to Old Sacramento and check out the Railroad Museum and Crocker Art Gallery and
but
so forth.
But you've never been to any of those places yourself.
Yeah, and then you start realizing exactly that you, only half of them you've been to. So, you know, if nothing else, that you get a chance to discover them on your own. So
this is really good. Sacramento is considered one of the farm-to-fork dining capitals in the country. So in terms of fresh ingredients and stuff, a lot of opportunities. All right, we're almost done with the first half hour here. Thomas, what's coming up after the news?
Farm-to-fork-to-mouth is actually how it goes. Okay, coming up after the news, we're going to, let me back up. You've been to a restaurant, let's maybe an Applebee's or a family restaurant, and sitting on the table is this little, what looks like a little video game or a little machine, and it's got ads on it, and it's something that you can place your drink order or maybe even your entire meal on it. There are hidden dangers.
Hidden costs.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's dangerous, especially if you've got kids or you've got Tom.
Coming up right after the break, Jessica Monsell with Elliott.com joins us to talk about how you can avoid all those extra charges right here on The Travel Guys. If you traveling the Route 66, Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, we are The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. When's your next on-the-road Route 66 adventure, Mark?
I'm thinking about doing a tour next year. A lot of people have been asking me. There hasn't been, people have been kind of quiet about Route 66 for a few years, but now a lot of my travelers have asked me and gotten a couple of emails from people who listen to the program who have asked about whether or not our company is going to have a Route 66 tour. So I'm thinking about it. I know a lot of the people out on the old highway, and I would love to, a lot of them are my friends, and I would love to go see them. So I don't really need a huge excuse. If I thought I could get 15 or 20 people to go with me, why, I'd probably take off on a journey down the old highway. That's about all the excuse I need.
I don't think that would be very hard at all. Okay, let's move forward. Bringing back on the Travel Guys, we've had her on a couple of other times, writes for Elliott.com. Jessica Monsell joins us. Jessica, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark and Tom. Thanks for having me back.
All right, our topic today, again, no doubt, a result of an article that you have written on Elliott.com about some hidden fees that families are running into in restaurants simply because the kids want to play the game. Tell us a little bit about your article and where this conversation is going.
Well, I hadn't experienced this personally, but we got an email from a reader who had been to Pizzeria Uno in the northeast part of the United States and reported to us that he was at the table with his family and they had an Android device on the table, like an iPad, but shows the menu for the restaurant, and then also has games at the table. So he clicked on it and then didn't think anything of it, went about eating his meal. And when the bill came, surprise, surprise, there was a $1.99 charge for the games that were loaded on the tablet. So he wrote to us about it, and then when I did a little more research on it, come to find out this is a very common complaint amongst restaurant goers across the country, actually, because this particular business is called Ziosk, and they are at a lot of the casual dining restaurants in the country, Chili's, Friendly's, Red Robin, those are some of them. So it's a big issue, and people are really not aware that some of these activities that they make available to people are actually for a fee.
Now, Jessica, Tom, we were talking about this before we went on the air, and you said you expressed your own personal aggravation with these.
I have been aggravated on a number of different levels with these. Nothing against Applebee's, but they were one of the first to roll these out. It looks like, and Jessica, you can probably agree, that a lot of family-style restaurants, pizza parlors, and, you know, family-style restaurants have these devices. And, you know, the idea, it looked like when they first showed up, was to provide you a quicker way to get your drink ordered. Because if you, the moment you sit down, if you go ahead and order your drink, by the time your waiter shows up, they'll show up with your drinks. And then from that point on, you can go ahead and peruse the device to order your food if you choose. And the bottom line is you can pay with it. But you know what? There are a lot of pitfalls all the way along. And then the thing that I noticed at the very beginning was there were games, but they were free. And then
Right. Subsequently,
you know, I walk in one day and I say, hey, let's play a little trivia while we wait.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know up, you know, either you either get the charge at the end or hidden somewhere on the screen, you notice that there is a fee associated with it.
Right. So I heard that when this company first started out, that the games were free. And then slowly they increased it to 99 cents, and now it's $1.99. Somewhat like, you know, the airlines when they started charging us for checked bags. You know, they started out at $15, and now it's $25, and so on and so forth. So, you know, they're following a successful business model, but here people aren't noticing that the games are actually for a fee, and what they're not doing is they haven't built into the software any sort of pop-up to let people know that this is going to add a fee or a charge to your restaurant.
Oh, and yeah, and you know that would be really hard to do.
Wait a minute here, you bleeding heart liberals. let me just say, why can't people just be responsible for their children and make sure that they don't play games on the restaurant?
I didn't even have any children with me.
Oh, okay.
We just wanted to
sorry,
play.
Sorry, I guess that shot that argument down.
It was some like Beatles trivia or something, you know.
So, Jessica, as you can see, this isn't only to families with little children. There are to families with Toms are having the same.
That's right.
And you know what? I guess the theory on this, it's only $1.99, so a lot of people just pay it without even saying anything.
Well, so that's the thing. This technology that's been introduced to the restaurants expedites the process to some degree. I mean, I would imagine that some restaurant goers like being able to press a button and have, you know, some Diet Cokes appear at the table. But then when the bill comes and you see, you know, just like anything else, when the bill comes and you're like, oh man, that's not right, you know, then you have this judgment call as to whether or not it's worth your time to call the waiter, get a manager, have the whole process of adjusting the bill, you know, is this correct? And that, you know, I think they're really banking on that it's only $2. So, you know, but multiply that out times how many restaurant goers across the country are using this and are having that same, you know, that judgment call.
So what do we do here?
Saving them money.
Well, absolutely. So what is the public to do in a situation like this, Jessica? You're with Elliott.org. You're a consumer advocate. So where does, now that we've brought this to folks' attention, is it just a matter of telling the management that you think it's unfair? I mean, surely we shouldn't have to be able to have some regulation that says there has to be some kind of an opt-out screen or something along the way, which is kind of seems like it would solve the whole thing. Why wouldn't they just put a screen on there that says, hey, you know, did you ask your parents if you can play this game? Or, right. You know, you realize this costs $1.99 if you go past this screen type of thing? Is that right. Too much to ask?
Well, you know, the restaurants are they have an incentive to keep this billing system going because, of course, they've invested in it and they're making money off it, and the company, the manufacturer, makes money off of it. So, really, I think it does have to come from the public, from restaurant customers saying to management, you know, we really don't like this. We've written to Chili's, we've written to Pizzeria Uno, and we've written to Ziosk, the company that makes the tablet itself, and they are not ready to change their business model. So, you know, it may be an issue for the Attorney General of the state of Texas, where Ziosk is headquartered. I'm not sure what it's going to take, but at least a little bit of awareness for customers when they're going into a restaurant is helpful.
There you go. You know, like anything, you know, buyer beware. Perhaps if you're a parent and you've gotten duped for $1.99, you know, do what we do. And ours isn't so much because of the game. It's because of the billing process is pretty screwed up as well, where you can't get an itemized statement as to what you're paying for.
And how many people touch one of those things in the course of a day? I mean, what are you touching that somebody else has touched a whole bunch of times?
But we basically ask the waiter or waitress the helping us out to just put it somewhere else, move it off the table. First of all, it occupying space that could be a great spot for some nachos.
Hey, Jessica. Jessica Monsell is with us. She's with Elliott.org. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Jessica, before we let you go, something on Elliott.org today that you had a piece about a gentleman who, I thought this was kind of fun, American Airlines lost his baggage. And people maybe don't know, but there's a limit as to the liability of what an airline is responsible for. If you put a $100,000 piece of jewelry in your luggage and you lose it, they're only going to pay you, depending on where you're traveling, internationally or domestically, a limited amount of money. And you wrote about a gentleman who they lost his luggage, and then he went out and went shopping at really upscale places and tried to get American Airlines to pay for all this stuff.
Right. So American Airlines actually paid him the maximum limit of their liability for his missing suitcase. But he did, you know, I really don't think he was trying to pull a fast one. I think he just happens to be an upscale shopper. So when he needed to replace all of his clothes, he went to, you know, to Louis Vuitton and Armani and then submitted $6,000 in reimbursement claims. And unfortunately, you know, that's just not going to fly with Airlines.
Nice try.
I just wanted you to know that I really enjoyed reading the article, and I enjoyed your comments about, you know, really, Jimmy Christmas. You know, you can't, no matter what you're wearing, the airlines, there's a limit to what they're going to pay you back for. So you might be better off to downscale that travel wardrobe just a bit so that when you lose it, it doesn't, it can be replaced. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure, you know, that's where I shop mostly is Armani. And
That's where you're going after work, aren't
7-11,
you?
7-Eleven, I think. Yeah. I have a little bit of a wardrobe to be replaced, but that's another story for after the break. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be on the lookout for more things at Elliott.org, by the way, which is the best travel advocacy site out there, Elliott.org. There's a link to it on TravelGuysRadio.com, or you can go there yourself. You can get updates from them every day or drop in whenever you want. Great people like Jessica write for them. Thank you for being on the show, Jessica.
Thanks, Mark and Tom. Take good care.
Thank you. Links to everything, TravelGuysRadio.com. Coming up in about 3.5 minutes, we're going to go UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, with Mark Hoffman. And then Mark's going to tell us his horror story, something that happened that was never happened to him before. It's horrifying. And that's next here on the Travel Guys. Here we are riding on the city of Sacramento.
City of Sacramento.
We are Tom and Mark, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano.
I'd seen you somewhere before.
Mark is the travel expert, and I'm the guy who knows the travel expert. It's about as far as it goes. That's it.
That's you trimmed that beard thing there. That's looking.
I did. I actually decided to spend some money and buy a beard trimmer. Oh. You know, that's a real leap in that direction.
Someday I'll be old enough to grow a beard, I hope.
You know, when you that's a commitment to keep your beard so that you can defer the value of what you spent your money on in the beard trimmer. Now I'm like stuck with this beard for at least 2 months so they can get, you know, it's worth it unless I can find somebody to
you're
sell
crazy.
It to. You know?
A beard in summer in Sacramento.
I know.
I'm surprised your wife hasn't, maybe that's why I don't see her with you at this.
Are you ready for this?
What's that?
Somebody walked up to me in the grocery store the other day and they looked at me and he go, you know who Wolf Blitzer is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looked at me and he go, you look just like Wolf Blitzer. Can I get your autograph?
See, this is the problem with being famous on the radio, is that no one knows who you look, what you look like, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, you know, they go to travelguysradio.com. There's actually a photo there, but it's outdated because it doesn't have Tom in the beard.
Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and on the top of the website, you can click on it. You can enter your email. We will send you a link to the podcast every week. That is really cool. I mean, we're not going to send you a bunch of promos or anything, just that link to the podcast every Monday. So if you miss the show, you'll be able to listen to it. Hey, we have we gave away a $500 travel card last week.
Finally. I thought no one was listening.
Yep. And so we will have a $100 winner. Let's take care of that right now.
Okay.
Let's see here. I have... So congratulations to the lady who won last week, and I'm trying to remember her name now. She's a longtime Sports Leisure traveler. And
it'll come to you.
It'll come to me probably before the end of the show. Anyway, so we're back to $100 on a travel card this week. It is Edie Ann Doudal. D-U-E-D-A-L-L, Edie Ann Doudal. You have a $100 travel card, compliments of Sports Leisure Vacations, if you call their office Monday or Tuesday to claim your card. If you wish to enter the Travel Guys gift card drawing, you need to travel on a Sports Leisure Vacations trip or go to travelguysradio.com. In the subject line, just enter contest drawing, and we will throw your entry into the mix for 3 weeks. So you can enter every 3 weeks if you like. So it was up in the UP.
Up in the UP.
Up in the UP.
What did you see? What did you do?
Well, you know, very few people, this was a mystery tour, someplace where I took 19 travelers with me, some really nice people too. We really had a good time. I had some wonderful folks.
Talk about a leap of faith.
Yeah. Well, it's more than $2,000 to go on a 7-day trip to someplace and you don't know where you're going, but I think that they felt like they had a good time. Let me tell you a few of the places we visited. We went to Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Now, a lot of people are familiar with Grand Rapids, Michigan, but we went to Grand Rapids, Minnesota. It's the hometown of Judy Garland.
Awesome.
So her home, her childhood home is preserved there. And
there's
her
no
story.
Place like home.
No, exactly. There's a yellow brick
like
road
home.
In town.
Okay.
And so that was kind of fun. We went through Duluth, and then we headed into the Duluth kind of Superior region, which is just, I mean, you just drive along these two-lane roads, and there's just trees and beauty on both sides of you for as far as you can see, and lakes and big lakes and little lakes and rivers and streams and waterfalls and all kinds of wonderful stuff. Marquette, I was mentioning earlier on the program, what a beautiful little town that is. I mean, just Marquette, Munising, you almost have to drive to this place because Marquette has like 3 or 4 flights a day. Houghton, which is where we flew out of yesterday, has 2 50-passenger flights a day. Duluth is another option that you can get within about 3 hours of this place. But it's kind of the beauty of it is that the Keweenaw Peninsula, which is the heart of where we went after we left Marquette, you kind of have to want to go there to get there. It's not someplace you happen on accidentally.
Okay.
It's 3 or 4 hours out of the way, no matter where you came from.
So it's not on the way to somewhere
else.
No,
it isn't. It's a peninsula, so it's the end of the road. A lot of the country's copper came from there for about 70 years. And the little town of Calumet is just wonderful. It has all of these old brick buildings, and they've kind of started to, I think they've hit rock bottom in terms of their economy and jobs and industry. And they've discovered that, wow, people have an interest in what we have here to come and see it and learn about it and be a part of it. And of course, you're really north there, so the weather is their weather up there 7 months a year is kind of icky. But they also have dog racing, and there's a hockey. There's like in Marquette, there's like 4 hockey arenas, and the town's only 20,000 people. So you know what they do in the wintertime. I mean, they go and knock each other's teeth out playing ice hockey. But really, really cool places. We went, meeting the people when you're out on the road like this, it's one of the coolest parts, I think, of travel. And we had the opportunity up in the Keweenaw and in that area up there. We went to a shrine, and the sister there, what was her name? I believe Maria was her first name. And I said, you know, she's out there by herself, and what's your story? You're not a sister now. And she says, well, I am a sister. She says, but I'm trying to start an order. I'm hoping other sisters will come join me, but so far no one has. And she's at this beautiful shrine of this snowshoe priest that's very legendary up in that region. And just a wonderful story. The next day we go out on the Keweenaw Peninsula. We go to this bakery called the Jam Pot Bakery, and we meet Father Basil. And these two monks are making probably more money off of the bakery than they are off of anything that Jesus has shown them to do the way to do. I mean, and wonderful baked goods that you can't, I mean, just on a quality you can't find anywhere. And you're buying them from these guys who are dressed, you know, like monks. And it's just, and there's a great waterfall up half a block away. And you just kind of feel like that you've discovered someplace really special. You know, that you've gone to some place that, and I bet the fall colors up there must be absolutely unbelievable. Of course, to get fall color, remember, people from Sacramento, the weather has to drop some. So you're looking at temperatures in the 40s and 50s and 60s up there on the Keweenaw Peninsula. But nice people. One of my travelers commented that the Pepsi machine in the hallway only took a dollar. And that's just, you know, the cost of living there isn't what it is here. But Keweenaw Peninsula, Houghton and Hancock, that's the closest airport to the Keweenaw, or you can fly into Marquette. You've got to go through Chicago in each case, or I think you can get to Marquette through Detroit or maybe through Minneapolis too. But and there are a couple of other small regional airports there, but it's just all thanks to Fred Huffman, a gentleman who provided guide service for 3 days, knows everything about the UP, knows all the people there, all the contacts, some wonderful restaurants. And then yesterday on the way home, we discovered this place in Chicago. In the Chicago Hilton, there's an old, it's an old nightclub, and it's called the Chicago Hilton Gaslight Club, and they opened especially for us, and we had dinner in there, and all kinds of, there's a picture of Jimmy Durante on the wall.
Wow.
And it's this really hidden, if you're ever laying over in Chicago long enough that you got time on your hands and you're willing to go through security and come back, the Gaslight Club in the Chicago Hilton is open for lunch every day starting at 11 o'clock. It's open for dinner too. But that would be some place that would really make a boring layover a lot more fun. Anyway, the UP of Michigan, I highly recommend putting it on your list.
Wow. Okay, there you go, folks. Again, everything that we talk about, well, most everything, is at TravelGuysRadio.com. We're down to a minute and a half, Mark. Do you think we can...
I got something. I got a little thing here.
Okay.
This is from Elliot.org.
Well, before you go into that, those that are waiting about for your horrible story may have to wait till next week.
Well, all right. We'll tell them quickly. I was leaving on this trip, 2:45 in the morning. I put my suitcase and my briefcase out in a driveway that's outside in my gated community, outside the condo I live in. I go back to lock my door. I'm gone maybe a minute. About 45 seconds that I'm gone, I hear a car door slam and a car speed away. And I think, oh, that's kind of unusual. I lock my door and I turn the corner and my suitcase and my briefcase are gone. And yeah, everything that you're leaving on a seven-day trip, you're on your way to the airport, and now you have to repack in 5 minutes.
All of your clothes.
You've lost everything that you would normally take on a trip is gone.
Your electric toothbrush.
Your razor, your socks, your underwear, your everything. And
your spending cash.
Everything. Start over. So whoever got the stuff, you know, I hope you choke on the snacks. And I hope you didn't throw the briefcase away too early because that cash was hidden in a secret park in a secret pocket. It'd be a shame if you took it and couldn't find it. Anyway. But I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
Oh, no.
We'll have a great show next Sunday.
At least you didn't fall down and knock yourself out.
No, I did not. But my faith in humankind was jagged just a tad.
Listen during the week for Mark's and the Travel Guys Travel Tip of the Week. You stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week here on the Travel Guys.